Great. Well, welcome, everyone. This is FF 101, Use Spaces and Places Creatively, and this is our first conference call. And normally I'm based out of Whitehorse on the traditional territory of the Kwanlin-Dun First Nation and Ton Kwachin Council, but for today, I'm actually hosting this call down in BC from the Shoshal Nation's territories, which is Seashelt. So thanks for joining me from all of your different places. And just to confirm, I have on the call Jed and Juliana. Did anybody else join the call and I've missed that you've joined the call? Okay, so let's get rolling then. So this learning event is 2 weeks long and it's called FS 101 or Use Spaces and Places Creatively. And it's about, sort of looking at how we use the spaces and places in our communities. It helps us look at, explore connecting people to nature and the outdoors, and also addressing local interests and improving access to recreation through the spaces, places, and outdoors that we have. On most of our conference calls, actually on all of our conference calls, we always begin with a round of introductions. And what I'd like to do is imagine a virtual circle that connects us so that we have an order that we go around the calls. So for this one, we won't put Juliana on the spot. I'll go first. Jed, you'll be the next stop in our big virtual circle, and then we'll go to Juliana. And if anybody else joins in, they'll join the circle there. So let's just introduce ourselves to each other. And when you introduce yourself, maybe tell us your name, which I've already done for you, but you can do it again, the community, the role that you have in your community. And then I'd like you to share your favorite recreation space or place. And so I'll go first, just so that you know who I am, and then Jed next, and then Juliana. So my name is Caroline Sparks, and I'm the Learning Consultant for the Recreation North Training Program, and I live in Whitehorse. My absolute favorite recreation space is getting outdoors, so it's an outdoor space on the trails that go through the woods just out the back of my house. So, you know, if you live in Nunavut, you might not have woods out your back door, but you've got lots of land out there. So you can imagine I've got hills and mountains, and they're very heavily treed out the back. So one of the things, this is one of actually my favorite learning events because I love the second week where we talk about getting outdoors. I've always been sort of even just relaxing outdoors. It doesn't have to be super active or intense, but I love my outdoor recreation. So over to you, Jed. Would you like to introduce yourself and share with us your favorite recreation space or place?
Hi, I am Jed Sharp, and I work with recreation in Teslin. I really enjoy exploring the trails and different things around town.
Yeah, so you're an outside person too, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that... I think a lot of us who live in the north are, right?
Would make sense, I guess.
It would, yeah. Well, thanks for sharing, Jed. And how long have you been working in Teslin now for?
A bit over a year.
Oh, great. Well, they're very lucky to have you there, so that's great. And you must enjoy working with Lindsay, too. So thanks for joining the call today. Juliana, would you like to introduce yourself a little bit and share your favorite space or place to recreate?
Yes, my name is Juliana. My position here with the municipality is a coalition manager, and I do support a lot of the recreation initiatives here, working directly with the recreation department, with Melissa and Tracy. And my favorite place for recreation here in Cambridge Bay is, I think, the West Arm. So we don't have the tree here for you guys to go on to go around and have those trails. But there's as a day like the one today that is nice and warm, beautiful sun, so to go out beyond the ice road and reach these noble goals that we have and just go sliding with the kids where we see the families, especially weekends, morning, afternoon, or evening now with the daylight going down and seeing everybody there and having fun. It's a nice place to be at.
That sounds wonderful. I can just imagine the sun just shining just brilliantly today. So it must be gorgeous.
Yes, we had a little bit of snow today, so we stopped to walk outside, and it's nice.
Yeah. Well, hopefully spring is on its way, so eventually.
Yes, we have seen already some of the birds that will show us that the spring is coming, so I think we're on the right path.
I know, it seems like we get the sun back first, and then we have to wait for a while for the sun to do its work, and then things start to change. I know in the Yukon, for the between Teslin and Whitehorse, all the swans have been back, so they're probably headed further north by now. So thanks for introducing yourself and for joining us, Juliana, and also Jed. So I'll just go over a little bit of the content, and then I have a couple of questions just to get us thinking about it. So you might have read on slide 4 in the FS 101 presentation that we're going to explore creative ways to use community spaces and places for recreation. We're going to talk about some things that we can do to make better use of the spaces and places, and we're also going to recognize the benefits of connecting to nature through recreation. So I've used the word spaces and places quite a bit, and it might be something you're familiar with or it might not be. So I just wanted to kind of go over those terms a bit more, and you might have got familiar with them in Activity 1. So in the field of recreation, sometimes we talk about infrastructure and facilities, and those words refer to things like buildings, like a community hall, to structures or facilities that we use for a whole bunch of public uses, not just recreation and sport, but also for art and learning and things like that. So I always think of buildings as being places. So in our communities, you might have an arena, you might have an indoor pool or a greenhouse or a community hall. And those are examples of places. And then people also like to recreate in outdoor spaces. So spaces are areas that I imagine are designed and built to encourage recreation. So Juliana, you mentioned a sliding hill. There might be, maybe there's a warming hut at the bottom of the hill. Maybe there's some stairs to help older people go up or a fire pit or something like that. In Whitehorse, we have a really big trail infrastructure. So to me, those are outdoor spaces. There's actually something's been done to the natural environment to make it more encouraging for people to recreate there. So and other examples are playgrounds, gardens, and parks. The outdoors, as we've mentioned already, is really important to people who live in the north. And so, you know, depending on where you are, in Nunavut, you probably use the term out on the land. For us in the Yukon, we sometimes say out in the bush because we have more of that than you might in Nunavut. So nature really includes the land, the bush, the water, and also the air, the sort of environments where recreation may or may not take place. So we'll talk more about nature and how important our natural environments are to our physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. We'll talk about that next week. So now I'm just wondering, from each of our perspectives, and I can sort of start to give you some ideas, why do you think it's important for us in the field of recreation to think creatively about using our spaces and places? One example that I have is that, you know, it's expensive now to start to build things, and so we have to make a better use of what we already have rather than trying to create something new when we think that we want it. So I'll just start with Jed again and then go to Juliana. Next time we'll reverse our circle. So Jed, why do you think it's important for us to think creatively about how we use the spaces and places we have?
Well, since we really like our nature and such, maybe trying to preserve that as much as possible and not cutting down a bunch of more trees in a certain area to make more places and use spaces that have already been developed to.
That is really a big challenge in the Yukon, especially for people who do motorized, like quads and ATVs in the backcountry, right? So I think that's a really good point to use the outdoors wisely so that we can still conserve and preserve it for future generations. Is that sort of capture why you think it?
Pretty good.
Okay, great. Thanks. And Juliana, how about for yourself? Why do you think in the field of recreation, we have to really make sure that we creatively use the spaces and places we have?
For sure, the first one that you mentioned is the cost of building new infrastructures, not just the cost, but also, especially here where we live, the soil would not allow us to keep building things here everywhere. We just have a limited place or piece of the land that we can keep working on. So we will need to, and the community is growing, and we will need to keep having more thinking about solutions for how to keep offering and improving recreation space here for the community. For sure, the connection with the environment also, with the land, as you have mentioned, as we keep saying here in Nunavut, is the best way also of keep passing on traditions. For example, it's good to go when we go to West Arm. We are sliding, but also we see little holes with the way that the snow is spilled on the hills. And then we see that it's also a place where the wolves or the rabbits or the fox, they will come and stay there, or the birds. So we see the families, they will come and keep saying, oh, I remember when I was coming here with my family when I was young to do this and that, or the view of the community or the camps that wouldn't be there is also a good place for this intergeneration connection. And as we've seen some of the discussions on the course, now we are seeing more outdoor activities as solution that came with the pandemic for gatherings. We have seen birthday parties that they're held being held outside, and people thinking in a different way of using all the free and beautiful places that we have around.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Like I think recreating outdoors can be very special. It can teach people a lot. It can help them connect to the land, to their culture, but it also teaches future generations or young people the importance of conserving those places for the future too. So, and you've also tied in the cost of building and, you know, the access to the land that's actually usable land for building is not something that in the Yukon we often think about, but it makes so much sense when you have permafrost or too much rock or things like that. So, you know, the cost of building something new or not having the space for it. And then also the cost of operating facilities in the north is so high too. So there's lots of good reasons, as you mentioned, to make sure that we try and are very creative about how we use what we do have. So thank you both for sharing that those are really good, great insights that make a lot of sense to me. So if you are on the presentation or you've looked at the presentation slides, slides 7 and 8 remind us of some of our national and territorial frameworks that set out priorities for our spaces and places. I'll just touch on the framework for recreation in Canada. It points out that, you know, it's really difficult to provide all the recreation facilities that everyone in your community wants to have. So I'm sure that probably both of you in your work have heard about people wanting a better arena or a year-round swimming pool or even a swimming pool. These are often expensive places or facilities to build and maintain. So by encouraging a more creative thinking about how we promote recreation and physical activity, we can think about things like walking routes or, depending on where you are, cycling routes or facilities that serve a multitude of purposes or, you know, how we can make good use, as both of you have mentioned, of outdoor spaces. A lot of our community facilities need a lot of renovations and upgrades. I just heard this morning for two communities in the Yukon, both of which whose community halls have leaking roofs and mold in them, so they can't use them anymore. So those things are really expensive and costly as well. So sometimes, you know, the actual infrastructure is hard to do, hard and costly. The other territorial framework, and Julianne, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this one, but there's a new Nunavut sport physical activity and recreation framework, and I'm not quite sure how to pronounce the Inuktitut, but it's Nunalit Alujut, and it means communities in motion. That one includes goal number 5, and it talks about prioritizing the need for community and spaces and places so that programs and services can happen. And especially in Nunavut, I think one of the things I helped work on that one, and I heard how much more likely people are to participate in recreation and physical activity when public facilities are safe to use, when they're open regularly, and when there's enough equipment to play. You know, we've talked about the cost of building public places and spaces, and it's especially true in Nunavut, where the material, labor, and maintenance costs means that, you know, you can't build new things, so you're often using old arenas or school gyms as spaces and places for your programs. So the framework that is in Nunavut encourages communities to be creative in how they use the spaces and places. And so that's an important connection to this learning event, and that's why I just wanted to make sure that we touched on that. I think it doesn't really matter where we work or volunteer, but, you know, by being creative, we can make sure that what we do have is well used. One way that the Framework for Recreation in Canada points out we can do that is by getting involved when there's planning for communities that goes on. So sometimes recreation gets left out of important community planning, like planning for housing or for a school or things like that. But if recreation can have a voice when those plans are being created, then it's more likely that we'll be able to have shared facilities that we can use. So I think both of you have taken a look at the examples on slides 9, 10, and 11 and seen how there's some examples about how to creatively use existing spaces and places. So the old swimming pool in Inuvik was converted into a greenhouse. In Calgary, there's a whole program that uses old junk to make adventure playgrounds, and they move it around. And then a number of communities will use trails to create fun recreation spaces. So really what I'm trying to encourage in through those examples is to help us think outside the box. You know, as you know from your small communities, hockey doesn't always take place in an arena. Sometimes it's on a pond or a lake or on the road or something like that. And an arena can be used for much more than hockey or skating. So I have another question. I just wanted you to reflect on this. And you can answer any part of it that kind of comes to mind. So across the North, how can we make better use of the spaces and places we have in our communities? And what do you think might be different if we were more creative? So I'm going to ask Julianne, if you're okay starting first this time, that would be great.
Sorry, what? Across the North, how do I think that we should be? How the community would benefit if you're more creative?
Yeah, how can we do more than what we're already doing with some of the spaces and places? Like, what else could we do with our arenas besides hockey and skating? Or what else could we do with our school gyms besides an after-school program? Just wondering what you think about that.
I think we are in a phase here, maybe too concentrated on trying to get those places open or safe for the public to be at. Maybe this is my, I'm leaving to the rest of the team, the girls, to think more about what kind of activities they would bring on, but we are trying. For them, since the beginning of the pandemic, it's been hard to get for example, school gyms to be open for different kind of activities. We were able to get some of the user groups back there. So I think we are at this time of the dialogue, or our arena, as you mentioned, is one of those places that it's open, but there's a lot of mold, and we are looking into the renovation. The cost is a little bit over 3.2 million. So I think my head is focusing on trying to get the resource, or we are building the new arena now with the pandemic also. Everything stopped, but trying to finish. But I think people, they are also looking for, now with the restrictions being lifted, looking for more place to gather and be together. So I'm trying to reassure that we're going to have those places open and operate, or our swimming pool also. We have a swimming pool, but it's closed and need renovation, not just because of the pandemic, but we are closed due to the lack of infrastructure for those places. I didn't answer your question.
Well, I think you did. You answered a little bit. Like, you said that it's challenging because you either have to do renovations or you're trying to build new things, and the cost is so high. But I guess what my question is, you know, often we think of an arena and we think of hockey and skating. Are there other ways that, you know, you can build multi-purpose use into some of those facilities that you're renovating or building? Or are there other programs we can run in an arena besides hockey and skating? Do you know what I mean, sort of?
Yes, yes, I do. I'm trying to think specific for the arena. What kind of...
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, some communities have told me that they'll have like a lounge area in their arena or something like that where they run their youth programs out of. You know, some people might use areas of the arena, like the entrance way, to run a preschool program during the day when people aren't skating or things like that. So there's just different ideas around using them. And you don't have to answer. And just, you know, I think that it's a challenge that we all face to be creative that way. So this is more about just sharing any ideas that come to mind. So anything else to add to that, Juliana,
yeah, no,
or should I go on?
No, it's good. I would maybe leave the arena to think about later, but we'll give an example of how people, they were creative here when 1 or 2 years ago they opened a paintball. So they got the things from the dump.
Yep.
There's the airport road, and they built it. They brought everything there to the field, and they put together an outdoor space for people to be gathering at, using things that they could find here that was mostly what would be garbage already, but it was repurposing the space to create something fun for recreation.
That's a great example. So using what you have available, finding a space that's available and creating, did you say it was paintball, like a paintball activity?
Yes, like a paintball field for.
Yeah, and I can imagine youth would really appreciate that.
Yes.
Yeah, and then sometimes, too, if you have ideas like that, you know, repurposing things that have gone to the dump for sort of the props or whatever, the places to hide in the paintball field. Once, if you've got some of that already in place, then it's often not as hard to ask for funding from somebody for the paintball equipment itself or something like that, or the safety gear. So there's definitely ways to be creative that way. So thanks for sharing that. I think Dana and Serena, are you guys on the call now?
Yep, we are.
So we're listening to Juliana, and Juliana's joining us from Cambridge Bay in Nunavut. So you may have heard her explain about the paintball and how they, you know, took an open space and got things from the dump for a paintball. So we're just sort of sharing some creative ideas around what we can do with our spaces and places for recreation so that they're not super costly. Like, just, and it doesn't have to be an idea from your community. It can just be an idea that comes to mind. So while you think about that, I'm going to ask Jed the same question. Jed is on the phone from Teslin. And Jed, do you have any ideas around how to make better use of the spaces and places in our communities, or an example of a creative use of a space or place?
Over the summer, when the ice is out from our arena, we use it to do different sports like pickleball or basketball. And we do like a free sport sometimes. So we just make use of a vacant building, essentially.
That's great. Did you have to put a special floor in for the arena to be able to do things?
Just make use of the floor that's already in place.
Okay, because I think do you guys have artificial ice or natural ice?
It's artificial, so it's just concrete underneath.
Yeah, I think it's communities where it's natural ice, so they might not have the same base. There's a special floor that you can get in for out-of-season time. So that's great. Thanks. Thanks for sharing that example. Dana or Serena, not to put you on the spot, but would you mind introducing yourself so Juliana knows who you are? And then if you have an idea around how to creatively use a space or place, either in your community or in any community, maybe you can share that.
Yeah. So my name is Dana, and I'm a youth recreation support worker here at Quinlan Dunn in Whitehorse.
And my name's Serena. I'm also a youth recreation support worker in Quinlan Dunn. I'm also Quinlan Dunn. So, yeah. I was just telling Dana, like, how we have a space downstairs, and, like, because we're quite a new building, we want a lot more artwork. But we're thinking about putting together a program so that we can make a mural, but, like, paint it on one of our walls downstairs.
That's great. That would sure brighten everything up, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would
yeah.
that be, like, a youth program?
Yeah, ideally, yes, that would be a youth program, as long as we get to open up here.
Right. I guess that's the challenge, right?
mm-hmm.
And a mural would be really neat. And sometimes those can take quite a long time, too, right? And sometimes they can tell a wonderful story as well. So thanks. That's a great idea. Is there anything else? Quinlan Dunn First Nation, just so you know, Juliana, is inside the, like, it's traditional territory for Quinlan Dunn First Nation, but it's also inside the municipality of the city of Whitehorse. So Whitehorse is an interesting geography around it. But they've just built a new recreation complex there. So anything else, Dana or Serena, to add to that? Any other ideas that came to mind?
You know, I'm sure there's lots, and I know I have in the past been really creative with space, but nothing is coming to mind right now for me.
That's okay. It's one of those days, eh, where your mind's going in 10 different directions.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, no worries. So basically, I just encourage you for this week to sort of just brainstorm, talk to your, you know, the people you work with or some of your volunteers, and just really be conscious about, you know, how you use the spaces and places that you have for recreation and what their potential is to do a little bit more so that maybe you can get more community members involved. Maybe you can use the space for a longer period of time, like over the summer, as Jed mentioned, rather than just in the winter, or a longer time frame in the day or things like that. So, you know, creatively using what we have, it takes time to work on, it takes time to think through, and sometimes the really great ideas come from our communities. So it can be helpful to ask our communities as well what they think. So one more question for you before we move on. And Juliana, you mentioned this too, with regards to the last couple of years, and COVID and the restrictions, the public health restrictions that have been in place. We know that recreation is an essential service, and we know that recreation supports people's health and well-being. But over the last couple of years, the public health restrictions have really shut down many of our spaces and places, and as a result, shut down some of the programming that we've offered. So during this time, we've been forced to be more creative in our approaches to providing recreation. And I know at Kwanlin Dun, I've heard your stories about your virtual recreation programming, which are awesome. I love those stories, and I'm looking forward to hearing some more of them of how they worked. But let's think for a moment just a bit more broadly about our community spaces and places and programs. And as a result of the COVID pandemic and the public health restrictions, have you noticed any changes in how we use our spaces and places, or any creative solutions that might not have been there before the pandemic? And let's start with Dana and Serena. Now, I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but we've just been changing our order of our circle. So we'll go Dana, Serena, Jed, and then Juliana. So have you noticed or observed any creative solutions that have sort of emerged because we've had to because of the pandemic?
I think something that comes to my mind right away is when I was managing the pool in Carcross, was right when COVID hit, and we had to be, creative in how we could still run, like, swim camp and stuff like that. And so we ended up, we had a kind of a fitness room space in the front of the pool, but it was actually kind of redundant because the fire hall already had a fitness space. So we ended up clearing everything out of the space by the pool, and that became, like, our eating area and sitting area, so the kids could spread out and eat their snacks and stuff in their little, like, sibling bubbles, as opposed to usually what we would do is everyone would cram in the tiny little lobby and eat snacks together there. And now, yeah, that space became, like, a nice area for, like, if people were having a birthday party, then they could have, like, their cake and meal and stuff in there and then come swimming as well. So, yeah, it turned out pretty well.
Yeah, and that might have been something that you hadn't thought of before the pandemic, right? But with the restrictions that were put in place, you had to think differently about how you used the space that you actually had. So that's a great example. And I'm wondering if you can also just share the other example you popped in the chat, because Juliana's not in the chat, and I think that that's a neat example as well.
Yeah, so an example of a space that had been, like, that I've had to be creative in using is, so we got new pool covers at the Carcross pool. I no longer work there, but we had gotten new pool covers, and the old ones worked really well as, like, it would be a great giant slip and slide, but we needed, like, a big space because the pool wasn't really the space for it, like, the yard beside the pool. But I also was the one who kind of ran the sprinklers for the schoolyard right next door. And so I knew that there were hoses and there was like a sprinkler system that could be tapped into for to run the hoses. And so we would pull the giant slip and slide kind of tarp sort of thing over to the schoolyard right next door to the pool, hook up the hose to the sprinkler system, and we were all set for a crazy slip and slide adventure.
That sounds awesome. Did it work really well?
It did. Yeah, it was, we didn't put it on any hills, but if you ran fast and we covered it in a whole bunch of biodegradable dish soap, then it worked. It worked amazingly, and the kids loved it.
So a great example of repurposing something that would have otherwise ended in probably up in the dump, right?
Yeah.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. And I like how you suggested that, you know, during COVID, we had to think differently about what we did with our spaces and move things around. Jed, let's go over to you. Have you noticed any creative solutions using our spaces and places that emerged because of the pandemic and the public health restrictions?
I don't know if this one wouldn't have happened without the restrictions, but this winter we utilized our local marina to put in outdoor rink, skating rink, and Boca Curl rink.
So you had like a skating rink and a curling lanes or whatever they're called as well?
Yeah. It was a new thing, so.
And that would let people go outside, so you weren't using your arena? Is that kind of?
Yeah.
So that you could maintain more distancing?
Yeah.
How did that go over well with people? Was it well used?
It was used somewhat. We still had our indoor rink open mostly, so it wasn't like a necessity for anybody.
Okay. Well, and it also depends on the weather too, right? Like if you have a lot of snow or you don't have somewhere for people to warm up or things like that, that makes it harder too. So definitely thinking about what you have outside and adjusting it and then providing things that might make it easier for people to use it. So thanks. And Juliana, how about yourself? Have you noticed any creative solutions to using spaces and places that emerged because of the pandemic?
No, honestly, no. This was a challenge. I think.
Yeah.
I wish we could use lakes in the ocean instead of the swimming pool, but even it's not a place where we can do things like that. Or actually, it took, let's say, December last year was the first time that we had, it was the first case that we had here in our community. So during 2 years, I would say that there was a time, the last lockdown that was December to now, it was the hardest one because it was the winter, and so people there not gathering at winter, so most of the time, but it was the coldest month, people there not gathering outside, so it was hard that it was mainly online activities like digging contests or distribute things for the community that we work together or making a wall hanging or something like this. But it was we do have, even before COVID, we had outdoor skate ring or those things, but it's not or now the guys were going, the kids are going more to West Arm sliding together, but we didn't create any new outdoor space specific because it came out because of the pandemic. So it was, we were missing this part. Actually, from the beginning, we have a new recreation team that started, and I started here last year, September.
Okay.
So for the majority of the time, same thing with the recreation manager and the recreation coordinator. So the majority of the time, there was a time maybe around 8 months or something like this, they were missing the recreation coordinator. So it was a tough period for the community regarding recreation opportunities.
Yeah, it's definitely hard when you're missing your key staff, that's for sure. But it sounds like, yeah, you did come up with some other ideas. You mentioned sort of, did you do online programming the same way Kwanlin Dunn might have done some of their online or virtual programming? Or was it in person when you talked about art or things like that?
So both. There was, for example, for Christmas, we had our Christmas games up to the December 23rd. And then we went on lockdown again. But when we were in lockdown, so none of the recreation facilities, they were open. But when we went back, it's not like we have a lot now also to be. It's basically our community hall. We have a makerspace for the kids, and we have a youth center. But if not, the kids they go to biking around or the parks. And we have our swimming pool needs to be renovated, and we have the arena. So this year we were able to. It was a late season, but we opened February. And until now, maybe Zoom is going to close because we depend on the weather. So, but now we're going to start the outdoor games with the frolics, and that is the traditional festival that they and games that they have
right
here. So I hope that we're going to be ready to think outside the box, not only online activities, because internet connection also is a challenge here. So we're looking for how to distribute material to get people connected, even for those that even the device or the cost of the internet is also a challenge. So we're trying to do our best.
Yeah, it is challenging, isn't it? Dana or Serena, do you want to just maybe share really quickly one of the type of virtual programs that you ran and some of the things that you learned that worked and didn't work, and maybe it might provide some suggestions for Juliana?
Yeah, so basically from January until mid-March, we were doing programming over Zoom. And so what that looked like, we tried all sorts of different activities that could be done, a lot of like tutorial style where you can just put up a video from YouTube on your Zoom and share your screen. One of the most successful ones was like paint night, also anything that had to do with food. So like we did some chocolate strawberry skewers over close to Valentine's Day. And so what we would do with that is we would get registration for kids who were interested, or actually we opened it to the whole community. So for anyone in the community who was interested in joining, and then we would prepare drop-off kits so that had all the supplies that they needed. So if it was a paint night, we would include, we usually did watercolor, so a watercolor palette and paint brushes and some watercolor paper. And then for the kids, we'd also include a healthy snack. And then the day of, just before the program, we would go do drop-offs and just kind of leave it at the door and either knock or just send a text and let them know, so it was completely contact-free. And then we'd come back to our space and we would set up a tripod with our camera. We ended up purchasing like a little kind of overhead tripod sort of thing for so that we could hold a phone kind of looking down at our own paintings that we were doing or whatever we were doing. The participants could see our hands. And and then people would join in and we'd text over or email over the Zoom link to everyone who's signed up, and then they'd join in. And most of the activities we did, they also had the option, because not everyone had access to Zoom, they also had the option to just do it on their own without having to join the Zoom call to be able to still participate. That was the biggest challenge, was like making sure that everyone had Zoom access, because obviously not everyone has internet or limited internet or a device to join Zoom on. So that was the challenge. And I think if we had continued with virtual programming, we would have tried to figure out a way. Maybe we would have iPads that we could kind of loan out with the activity kit and then get back afterwards. With like a data plan in connected to the iPads. But yeah, then we switched over to in-person programming again, and we haven't had to address that since then.
That's great. It's interesting to hear that, you know, the way that you describe all this. So it makes us realize that, you know, we have spaces in our communities, like our outdoor spaces. We have places, but now we have online spaces as well as, you know, physical out in the community spaces. So, you know, it's another dimension in a way of thinking about how we do recreation programming. One example I heard of recently that you guys might be interested in is in Dawson City, there was a group of women and they were really passionate about pole dancing, and they wanted some funding to run a pole dancing program, but they needed to have a licensed instructor or a certified instructor. So they ended up doing Zoom lessons with, you know, they got all the equipment set up, and somebody from down in California or something like that provided the instruction for them. So it's pretty amazing what we can do. But as Juliana mentioned, internet doesn't always work in our communities, so that can be another challenge. So I think that we've had a really interesting conversation today about, you know, ways to sort of creatively use the spaces and places we have, ways to get around public health restrictions that, you know, have come and gone and come back again over the last few years. And I just would like to encourage you to keep thinking in your roles at work and as volunteers. What can you do? What would be a neat way of using what you already have so that, you know, the we can keep costs down for those spaces and places and invest that money into opportunities for our community members? So thank you so much for joining the call today and for your contribution. And I think many of you have already posted your activity for the week, so I look forward to reading those. Take a look at other people's and make a comment on them as well, or ask a question. If you have any questions for me, please stay on the line after I stop the conference call recording, and I'm happy to talk to you or chat with you a little bit further. So, Masicho Kwana Nakramik, merci. Thank you very much for joining today, and I'll talk to you next week. Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
You too.